Turning now to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. The subject is very simply remembering your soul. Now the forgetting of God is a major theme in the Bible. And the forgetting word occurs very frequently. The charge, the accusation that people forget God. And Israel in olden times, or many of the Israelites, forgot God despite having unusual and conspicuous demonstrations of his power and all those miracles, despite having so many wonders, and despite their nation having been given a very special purpose, namely that they would have a great descendant who would be the Saviour of the world, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And yet so many people would forget God and all the things that he had done. So forgetting. The Hebrew word which is translated here, forget, forgotten, and so on, is an interesting one, and it comes from a verb to lose, or to literally mislay something. You have mislaid me, says the Lord, in effect. But it means a little more than that, because not only was it used about mislaying things, but also of just being oblivious to them, or giving no attention to something. And so the charge against people here in this 32nd verse, my people have forgotten me days without number. To mislay, God's being is forgotten by us. His ownership of us is forgotten and pushed aside so often. Well, there is unintentional forgetting. You know that well enough. You forget things without meaning to. The complexities of life, all sorts of things happen. And so other things get forgotten, swept out of view and out of mind. But it is foolish to forget the most important things. The most important thing of all. God is the most important being in the universe and beyond, the maker of all things, the one to whom we must give an account at the end of life's journey. He is the highest being we can possibly have any connection or relationship with. He is the richest. He holds the keys to eternity for every one of us, whether we're banished from his presence or whether we're with him in eternity. He is the only one who can give us a meaning for our existence and spiritual life and bring us into communion with himself. He will be the judge over all things. What a mess we make of our priorities if of all things we forget God. That's the most foolish thing. Even if it's inadvertent forgetfulness. I didn't mean it to forget God. And the reasoning of the prophet is very interesting here. The prophet Jeremiah, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. We'll come to that in just a moment. A lot of forgetfulness is deliberate. We mean to forget God and set him aside. We are indifferent to him. The very thought of God is inconvenient to us because we would have to repent of our sin and leave our sin. And we want to deactivate our consciences. And to do that, we have to forget God, put him out of mind somehow, pretend he isn't there or he doesn't exist, dismiss him from our memory, so that we never think of him. That's what we have to do. It isn't easy to do it permanently because we have an instinct for God. God has put that within us, an instinct that he is there. Everyone knows by instinct that there is a divine being. Everyone knows that they have a faculty to communicate with God. They can possibly pray. Even the toughest people, in time of war, in the trenches, in dangerous circumstances, will afterward acknowledge they prayed, even if they didn't want anybody around them to know they were doing it. And that's the case. So we have an instinct, and we know when desperate we can call upon God. Everybody knows by instinct that life does not end with death. We have to persuade ourselves to believe that it ends with death if we don't want God, because we have an inborn, instinctual fear of death. What will happen to me? Where will I go? How have I lived? That dawns on every person, because it's an instinct that God has put within us. We have a kind of instinct that sin is offensive to God, and these things may have to be settled and dealt with, and so death is fearsome. And with all these instincts, why forget God? Why put him right out of mind? Some people know more than what they know by instinct. They've actually learned about God. They know about Christ. They know the teaching of the Word of God, that Christ is equal to the Father, and he is the eternal Son of the Father, and he came into this world to be a Saviour, to make a way of salvation, to pay the penalty for us, for our sin. And they know that, and they know about grace. Do you know about grace? One of the most wonderful words conceivable. The grace of God, that God will pardon us freely and give us new life and relate us to himself and put us on the pathway to heaven and bring us into his family of his people. Though we don't earn it and we cannot earn it and we can never deserve it, grace is God's free favor towards repentant men and women, forgiving them freely and giving them freely all the benefits of conversion, of salvation. And some people know about that. And they know there is life through Christ and eternity, and still forget him. Let other things rush in and sweep that away. That is astonishing, says the prophet Jeremiah, that people can do that. And so he uses this illustration. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? The way he speaks, both the maid and the bride is a bride. The maid is a bride too. It's his poetic use of language. Can a maid forget her ornaments, that is, her jewels? Why, in those times, the jewels went in the family. They were the family inheritance, the family jewels. And when the eldest daughter was married, she had them. When her younger sister was married, they would be passed over to her, and so on. They were hers for the day. She was the bride. It was her day. She was queen on that day. And she would have the family inheritance of whatever jewels to wear as ornaments. And she would not only have that, but she would have the bridal gown, and particularly the bridal sash. That was the most important thing of all, passed from grandmother to mother, reworked, beautifully remade. This was the bride and her attire. Is she going to forget it? Of course not. Culture requires it. She cannot be without her garment, her bridal robe, and her jewels. It marked her day. Her status came through that. Her status was bestowed upon her as a wife with these garments that she wore. The marriage was made legitimate. It would be a shame and an insult to the groom, and the marriage would not be able to take place if she didn't have those jewels and that gown and that sash. Is she going to forget it? Of course she isn't. It's inconceivable. And the prophet says she could not possibly forget. But what if she did? What if she did? You cannot think of it. How could it possibly happen? She wouldn't be so foolish, surely, as to go off to her wedding in her working clothes or whatever. She couldn't be so stupid as that. That's impossible. She couldn't be so asleep to the consequences that she'd be refused and turned away at the ceremony. She couldn't be so selfish to her groom and to her family and so on? Impossible. Of course it is. Well, says the prophet, if it's inconceivable that she should forget her jewels and gown and sash for one day, how is it that we can forget God and eternity and life and happiness and forgiveness and peace? If the young woman who forgot her cultural attire would be utterly foolish, what does it make us, friends, when we forget these things and our priorities are all wrong and our minds are filled with the little things of life and the passing things and the here and now and what we can have and what we can be and the little pleasures and enjoyments? They may not be wrong or sinful, but what when we can fill our minds with these and forget the whole purpose and destination of life and the fact that we are owned by God? This is the reasoning. Why, if a bride had forgotten these things, it would certainly show one thing, that she did not have any grasp of the significance of the great day and of the occasion. There'd be something the matter with us. And if we can forget God, it similarly shows that we have no grasp of our significance. We're not animals, friends. We're not just dogs and horses and sheep. We're human beings. We are image bearers. We are made by God as relational people, with souls, with a moral consciousness. We're infinitely higher than the animals. Do we have no grasp of our significance? We are made for God, by Him and for Him. And we need Him, and we shall lose Him, because we are sinners against Him and rebels, unless we have His forgiveness, unless we have Christ, unless we have new life. This is the greatest conceivable thing in life. We've missed the significance of the occasion. We're walking round as though we're saying to ourselves, no, I'm just an animal. I am a nothing. I'm here for so many years and finished, all over, nothing to me. The bride has forgotten the significance of her great day. The human being has forgotten his or her significance before God. How can we forget? Only because we're not aware of these amazing and wonderful things, dear friends. Goods, possessions will not take you to see the Creator, if you're thinking all about that. Your home, though you must give it your attention, your home will not take you into eternity. You'll leave it behind. Your career, why, you may be on the promotion ladder. Well, congratulations to you if you're doing very well. That's good. One promotion after the other. But when you're finished in your career, you don't get promoted into heaven, you know, on the career ladder. That's altogether different. The only way into heaven is by the free forgiveness of God and new life, to be converted to God through Jesus Christ and to walk with Him and have Him to be your Saviour. Don't forget the essentials of life, the forgiveness of God and communion with Him. They're the things that matter most of all. Sometimes it's time to forget clothes, forget appearances, forget colour schemes, forget cooking programs and food, and forget all that, and think of what's infinitely more important, your relationship with the living God. He is the landlord of the universe. You have your body from Him, and you haven't paid your rent and loved Him and served Him. He is the majesty on high. He is the Holy One and the Judge. Oh, whatever you do, don't forget Him. Would you forget to go to court if you had a summons and risk an arrest warrant? Would you forget that? Would you forget your boss and not be at least polite to him or respond to him or do what he asks you to do? Fatal. But it's so much more important. To forget God is a disaster. Forgetfulness always has consequences. We all hear about people who've crossed halfway across England and gone to the airport to go to some distant place. and had a ticket on a plane, and it was non-refundable. And by the time they got there in the airport, they realized they'd forgotten the passport. What a disaster. What consequences. We've known even of people, well, everybody's done this, forgotten their keys, and what it cost you. And you had to wait around outside the door until husband, wife, somebody else in the family turned up, maybe 2 hours later. Of course, now you don't worry, you summon them on a mobile, but everybody knows the consequences of losing things. Yes, and a man who had reached about 40 years of age, and he'd done very well in his career, promotion after promotion, and now he had an interview for a really top job and a big job, and he went there, and something happened to him that was so embarrassing. It had never happened to him before, and it didn't happen to him afterwards for years. And you know what? When he was just under that tension in this big, big interview, he completely forgot the name of the company, where he was, and his own name. And his mind went blank, and it was the most embarrassing time of his life. And nobody could explain why it had happened. They weren't very impressed. He didn't get the job. There's always consequences to forgetting. And the worst consequences of all are to forget your Maker, to forget your God, to forget your soul, to forget eternity, the most tragic thing you can possibly do. You wouldn't forget to earn your living. You wouldn't forget to care for yourself or for your loved ones. Yet we forget the point of life, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the highest possible thing. We forget the Father, our Heavenly Father, and His power, and His goodness, and His purity, His holiness. We forget His knowledge of us. He knows our every thought, our every move. We forget His love. We forget about Christ, the Son of God, His work on Calvary's cross, how He suffered and died there in great sympathy for men and women. And He took Himself the terrible punishment so that those who come to Him could be forgiven and cleansed and receive new life. We forget how approachable He is. We forget the promise of communion with God through Jesus Christ. I can know Him. I can have Him. I can be obedient to Him and love Him and serve Him. I can be taught by Him and helped by Him. Oh, we forget these things. It's so foolish. And we forget our status, that we're in His image. And we have souls and reason and a conscience. So in chapter 23 of this book of Jeremiah is a very interesting word, and it's in verse 39, and I'll read it to you. Therefore, behold, I, says God, even I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you. You forget God, push Him aside, push Him out, and for all His love, and for all that Christ has done to bring pardon to needy souls, He must forget you. Of course, He won't forget you literally, but He will forget you in this sense that you will not be included in His benefits. You will not be in the role of those who go to heaven. You will not be saved. You will not be helped. You will not be blessed. You will simply come under the judgment of God. What you could have been, friends, you could have had His forgiveness. You could have had all your sin washed away. You could have become a child of God and known Him and had so much experience of His goodness. But you forgot Him, foolishly or deliberately. And you pushed Him away, and you came under His judgment, and He forgot you, and in your life here, you became nothing but a spiritual vagrant. However rich, however good-looking, however comfortable, viewed spiritually a vagrant, no heavenly home, no destination, no help from God, no purpose in life. Don't forget God. And you forget God
You forget this too. You forget, and this is tragic, you forget how easy it is to be saved. It is so easy. Why forget God? You remember all sorts of things you've got to do, which are hard to do. You've got aspirations and ambitions and desires and targets, and they all involve you in struggle, and you remember them all, and maybe you should. But why forget God and the way of salvation when it is the easiest thing to attain to heaven and to the favor of God? Yes, because God makes it so. He gives it to us freely. All we have to do is remember him and think of his mercy and trust Jesus Christ and what he's done on Calvary to bear the punishment of sin for all who trust in him. And it's given to us freely. What do? I humble myself. I am a sinner and I need the forgiveness of God. What else do? I repent of my sin. I tell God my shame. And I ask him to forgive me. And what else do? These are all easy things. I hand over my life to him. Lord, take me and cleanse me and make me new. Make me thine. I give him my worthless life to rebuild and renew. And I believe that only through Calvary and what Christ did there in suffering for sinners can I be cleansed and given heaven. And given eternal life. It's so easy to come to Christ. It requires only my sincerity, only my genuineness. Eternity, and where you spend eternity, according to this text, may depend upon your memory. Do you remember God? Do you remember Christ? Do you remember your need? Do you remember the way of salvation through Christ's shed blood and suffering in our place? Have you remembered to repent? Have you remembered to give up the world and give him your life? Have you remembered to put your trust and your faith in him? Forget those things, and your eternity is lost and dismal and awful. The memory must think of God. And the way of salvation and the provision that Christ has made. And then you will be given character. You will be given hidden depths. You will be given qualities you don't have. We are made by God more holy, more honest, more kind, more humble. What God does in the lives of those who trust in Jesus Christ is wonderful. Not until our dying day will we be made pure and perfect, but oh, there's a wonderful work takes place within us from the very day we repent of our sin. And you're made influential, and you begin to count, not just influential in the earthly things of life, but influential in the spiritual things of life. You come to Christ and you walk with him and you have his life in you. And what happens? You can be a blessing to others. You can pray for others. You can lead them also to Christ. And their eternal destiny will follow yours. And you will be of eternal influence through the blessing of God. And you'll be made an understanding person. And you'll be made a discerning person. And you'll understand why the world is as it is. And you'll understand human nature and how it is that men and women are alienated from God. And how this explains everything that's wrong with the world. You'll be a deeper person altogether. Just remember your Creator. Remember your spiritual need. Remember what Christ has done. Remember the way to come to him by believing in him and repenting of your sin and yielding your life to him. Oh, friends, these are wonderful things. If you want to come to God, you go home tonight and take out your Bible and read Luke 15 and read about how God freely blesses and gives salvation to men and women who trust in him, and read about the prodigal son, and read about how he returned to his father, and that should be you, and how you return to Almighty God and quietly by yourself pray to God that he'll receive you and forgive you and make you his own child. And God will never forget you. He will be faithful to you. He will work in your life. He will never lose sight of you. And you will be safe for all eternity. There's one other very sad reason given in this chapter why people forget God. And I do hope this doesn't apply to you, but I'm afraid it could do, so I must tell you about it. It's there in verse 31, the preceding verse. Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. And then the prophet says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. And it's preceded by these words, my people say, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Do you think there's a possibility you're saying that in your heart? I am not coming to God. I am above that. I am Lord of my own life, thank you very much. Don't you know I'm a very capable person? Don't you know I can manage by myself? Don't you know I don't need this kind of talk, this kind of appeal to me, this kind of reasoning? I am special. I am wonderful. I am going to be happy without God. I'm going to make it. I don't need all this. Is that possibly the reason why some of us forget God? Because we're so proud of ourselves. We don't need him. You may forget him because you're foolish. I'm sorry to use the term. I hope it doesn't put you off. You don't remember the most important thing of all. You remember all the little things and the medium-sized things, but not the greatest things, and foolishness will keep us out of heaven. It may be deliberate. God is inconvenient for you, and you push him out of your mind or memory. Or it could be pride. That's a tragic thing, an awful thing. But it's foolishness on all counts. How insulting to God. We cannot put ourselves in God's place. It's foolish, I suppose, to pretend. But just by way of illustration, see it from God's point of view. We look down on the masses of people. And don't forget, God can see every person who has ever existed or whoever will exist in one glance. But then the mind of God is so vast, he can somehow focus upon each one at the same time. And he looks at you, or me, and he sees somebody who has no time for God, no time for him, no respect, no worship, no praise and honor, no need, no seeking. What an insult that is to God. We can't know the feelings of God. He is so grand, he is so great. He is so benevolent, he is so loving, but he must mark the insult. He may not react to insults as we do, with pique or pride or temper, but he must mark the insult. That person is 20, that person is 13, and has the audacity to say to me, I am pushing you out of my mind, you are irrelevant to me. How will God react to that? I will forget you, he says. What an awful sentence. Don't forget God. He's kindness itself. Believe in him and Jesus Christ. Come to him. Repent of your sin. Seek him and find him. And he will, he has said so, somehow forget all your sin. and make you his child and bless you and take you one day home. Let's pray together.
O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us all. Oh, forbid it, Lord, that our minds should promptly wander. Help us to remember thee and our need and thy kindness, and save us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.